Well, hello and God bless your hearts. It's Sunday, April 30th, 2023. In our last teaching, we worked from 1 John chapter 4 to learn and refresh that God's love maturing within us could be so powerful as to cast fear right out of our lives. The scriptures in chapter 4 make this powerful alliance known. In that, God dwells in us and we dwell in Him. Salvation is the ultimate game changer. Romans 10:9-10. I'm going to read it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And at this point of our salvation, God dwells in us. No matter how we live after that, no matter our conduct, He will always dwell in us. The next game changer is for us to dwell in Him, meaning we choose to share in a reciprocal union with our Father. You know, God's dwelling in us and us in Him, it's a back and forth relationship, open lines of communications in both directions. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to work on dwelling in God. In today's teaching, being part one, we'll cover a bit more about God dwelling in us and our need to dwell in Him. And considering the Word of God next to the raw facts of living life in this world, it will bring us to a decision. And that is always the first step, is for us to arrive at a decision. Do I want to dwell in God? Then in part two, we'll look at the Word's insightful instructions for dwelling in Him. The scriptures in our heart that we put in our heart will ignite a passion within us to please our Heavenly Father. The raw facts of life are that the hardships and tribulations of living in this world are real. The challenges, they're in our faces. Just within the financial realm alone, groceries are up, fuel is up, taxes are up, utilities, child care, everything costs more. Everything is up. The only thing that isn't elevated proportionately with living expenses is income. We can't ignore these difficulties. They are a part of life on this earth, and they are real. And if money or lack thereof doesn't put the screws to your brain, then how about our safety on the streets? Even in our homes. Another thing that is up, guess what? Crime. Mass shootings, home invasions, carjackings and the like. Identity theft, scams, kidnappings. You get the picture. We hear about it. You cannot get away from it. But perhaps even more heartbreaking, because of the way the world is, pure-hearted young men and women are making decisions not to marry, deciding that they're not going to have families out of concern for bringing innocent children into the world the way it is. So, no, we can't ignore these threats, these challenges, these trials of life. But the actions we adopt need to be in accordance with God's Word. We do need to call them out as to what they are. They are devilish attempts to get us to negate the promises of God, that He has promised, the blessings that He has pronounced upon the believer's life. They're there are biblical solutions to all these things I just went over. And that is exactly why I want to work on the subject of dwelling in God. In John 16:33 in the Legacy Standard Bible, "These things," Jesus says, "these things I have spoken to you, so that in me ye may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I, Jesus, I have overcome the world." You know, and this beautiful verse is our solution to the raw facts that come at us from the world. Yes, they are real. However, the very ones who confess Jesus as Lord, the very one we believe God raised from the dead, has overcome the raw facts in and of this dark world. You know, the very person we confessed as Lord, the very one we believed God raised from the dead, that's the one. He's overcome it, he says. And then in 1 John 4:4, in the King James Version, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know, initially when the world throws us a whammy of some sort, it may not look like we're greater. You know, but what's our decision on who we're going to believe? The world? No. Or the Word of God? Of course. Mercy Me has a beautiful song on the Lifer album, and it's entitled "Hello Beautiful." And the song lyrics are just very succinct, and I want to share them with you, as for me, they illustrate making the decision to dwell in God through Christ. The first verse of the song goes, "No more. I quit. I've had enough. I wasn't made for this. To all the lies that have tried to cripple me with doubt, I think it's time to say goodbye. I know who I am now. Part of me says I'd be smart to walk away. But before I leave, I think I need to call you out by name." And then they go into the chorus that says, "Goodbye regret, goodbye alone, goodbye to emptiness, say hello to beautiful. Goodbye afraid, goodbye ashamed, goodbye to hopelessness, say hello to beautiful." Verse 2, "Can you hear it? That's the sound of me walking out of this prison cell that I've come to know so well. I used to play the victim singing, 'Take these chains from me,' but they have long been broken. I was free and would not leave. Somehow I got too comfortable locked up in this prison that I missed the doors wide open, more like ripped off of its hinges." And that's the truth of what Jesus did. We have no need to pray to get out of our situations, our prisons. No, we thank God for his deliverance from those, because it is promised. The prison doors are wide open. Jesus ripped those doors off their hinges, so to speak. And we can develop that mentality. That is our spiritual reality. That is what happened. And continuing with the third verse of the song, "Before I go, just so you know, there will come days ahead, wrestling not to believe the things you say I am, when I've forgotten what's inside and who I'm meant to be, I remember what's inside has not forgotten me." And as Larry loves to remind us, the promises of God have no expiration date. And his promises are the words of truth. So even amidst all the darkness, the uncertainty, we can live with a light heart and a fearless confidence. We can enter into each day with a cheerful courage, that the meaning for the word boldness. We can be filled to the brim with godly expectations for blessings awaiting us at any moment of every day. We confess Jesus as Lord. In our Lord, his peace is available. We don't have to settle for the tribulation that is in the world. We can dwell at peace in our own spiritual comfort zone, where it makes total sense to conduct our lives to the pleasure of God's goodwill, buckling under to what society calls peer pressure. It doesn't have to be a temptation when we trust that dwelling in God is unmatched. It's unrivaled. It's not nip and tuck. It's way out ahead, fathoms apart. And throughout scriptures, God puts great emphasis on the individual's choice. It's been man's freedom of right to choose since day one. God has never controlled man. Ultimately, everything we do is ours to choose. We make choices every day, and you know, maybe some of them kind of seem automatic because we decide we're going to do something and we do it over and over and it just kind of becomes the thing that we do. But, you know, they still are based on decisions that we have made, for sure. And here's an intriguing testimony of a 92-year-old man, and it holds a great lesson. It's a brief excerpt taken from a daily inspirational message that I read a while back. And it's entitled Early Morning Decisions. Mr. Jones was 92 years old. His wife of 70 years had passed away. Being legally blind, he made arrangements to enter a nursing home. Upon arrival, a worker described to him what his room looked like. She noticed a big smile come to his face, and he said with the enthusiasm of a child, "I love it!" Well, the worker laughed. "Mr. Jones, you haven't seen your room yet." To which he replied, "That does not have a thing to do with it. Happiness is something you decide ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange my mind. I've already decided to love it. I made that decision when I awoke this morning." Isn't that just the sweetest thing? And it is so true. It gives some thought about how your life would change if you decided to totally love the day ahead of you, sight unseen. You have every right and reason to make a decision of that magnitude. God has promised you his care, and he planned before the foundation of the world that you would cast your cares upon him. He knows all about the condition of the world throughout all the ages. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is in the New Living Translation, NLT. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The temptation, it's a trial of one's fidelity. To kind of tap on one's integrity to see if it will hold, to check out their virtue to see if it will withstand. And it can be brought on, the temptations can be brought on from just waning thoughts and desires or from outward circumstances that have nothing directly to do with us. Remember the thief as described by Jesus in John 10:10. The thief cometh not. The thief cometh not. It doesn't say God sends the thief. He comes on his own. And he comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. To which Jesus said, as the true shepherd, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The important truth to adhere to in our believing is that it is never God putting us on trial to check our fidelity, our virtue, our integrity. Being God who is all-knowing, he already knows. Why in the world would he need to try us, put us on the stand, grill us, give us a terrible situation and see if we're going to be able to withstand in that situation? And look at James 1:13. It couldn't be more clear. In the NIV, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And I'm sure you agree that if this has ever happened to you, there is just nothing more maddening, upsetting, disturbing than to be blamed for something you would not even consider doing because it's just so out of character as to who you are. It just leaves you aghast. Well, let's make certain that we do not blame God for something that is just not who he is. Further on a few verses, we see what God does give, and it is in keeping with his nature in verse 17 in the NIV. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is faithful, and he does not change. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know, Christ said yes to all of God's promises. And then likewise, we say amen, which simply means that our full-hearted yes is right there in alignment with Christ. We're like-minded with him. And then our faithfulness to count every promise as true, guess what? We bring glory to God. Sounds like a good theme for a year's teaching, right? Bringing glory to God. It could be, maybe there isn't another human being who knows exactly what you face in life and how those circumstances have affected you or continue to affect you. But God, your Heavenly Father, knows every nuance of what you're going through. So dwell in him. Willingly allow him to lead you. If we read in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he will lead us. He will lead us. And it says he will remove the stones along our way. He will make our path clear. And he understands our heart. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere present. And for us to dwell on him and his nature, who he is, what he does, the largeness of him as the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the intimacy of him being our Father is, you know, that just is what we have to focus on for sure. He dwells in you through the new birth, and he is pleased when you dwell in him. Now, just by way of position, through the new birth, he is at home in the believer's heart. His presence there has nothing to do with our conduct, our walking according to his commandment of love. It may blow hot and cold, but his presence in our heart remains. And wouldn't that be the safest place? Him and you and him. I mentioned it earlier, it's an unbeatable bond. There's no comparison. The world holds no sway over the finished works of Christ. So we can't allow the world to talk us into its lies that the powers that be in the world are stronger, because it's just not so. That is not biblical. It is just the opposite. It is a heresy. And on our own, we will not beat the odds out there in the world, wheeling and dealing with the influences of darkness. And oh, the lure to strike out on our own, it might have an overlay of fool's gold. But you know what? With one nod from the God of this world, that will come crashing down in a heartbeat. Then we'll really be like the children of Israel, who as soon as they found themselves in captivity along the way, they would come running back and crying to God for his help. And you know what? He always came to their cry. He always delivered them. But all of their departures and getting sucked into idolatry, it brought them nothing but troubles and miseries. They willfully left his blessings and chose the ways of the world temporarily here and there. And you know, with better early morning decisions, like we read with the Mr. Jones, they could have been spared so much pain and have not missed out on blessings that were there. In 1 John 4, it is our dwelling in God that germinates our divine love to Christ-like levels. God's only begotten Son demonstrated God's love at epic proportions, and he was confident that all of his needs would be met. I think of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It tells us, "Be ye followers," or imitators, literally, "of God. Imitate your daddy. Imitate your father as dear children," because dear children want to imitate their dads. They want to be just like their dads. Because we confess Jesus as Lord, we entered into the Father's love as his children. Verse 2, Ephesians 5, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love as Christ has loved us. And then a few verses along, verse 8, "God's wisdom is that we walk as children of light." Now that has to do with our deeds. Walk like you love God. Walk like you believe his word. Walk like you want to obey his commandments and be pleasing and be that sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then in Ephesians 5:15, that we walk circumspectly. And that means we have the wherewithal inside of us through the gift of Holy Spirit to know what is going on when we need to know what is going on. Without his love, there's no walking in light. And without his love and his light, there's no walking circumspectly. God's love is the all-in-all, and it's full circle. Because all of God's instructions include directions, his word gives us not only his will, but he provides the godly information for building our beliefs, so we can make solid decisions for our lives to be built upon truth. We can make an informed decision. And, you know, literally, a dwelling place is a place of habitation. The word dwell, it means to abide at or to remain. It indicates that we do not depart, but we continue to be present. And figuratively, it indicates a home, a retreat, or a refuge. God dwells in us. Our first and greatest need was met in the new birth. God in Christ in us. And our second greatest need is to make the conscious decision, like I just said, make an informed decision, if you will, to dwell in Him. And not only is that available, but it delights the Creator of the heavens and the earth when His children choose to dwell in Him. So in part two, with our decision made to dwell in God, we'll look at scriptures that will strengthen us to do just that. There's many verses and sections in the Word where we can learn how to get ourselves into that dwelling position. So that's what we'll do next time. God bless you.